It's the last day to do so.
All right. Episode 28. 28. And we got the boy, Jason McQueary, the second in here, dude.
That's
awesome. Sunday Scaries. It's been a disaster so far, but this will be a great episode, I think. So I'm excited to have you on.
I agree. A little fact about the second at the end of my name. It's actually supposed to be Junior, but my dad said that sounded too NASCAR-ish. So
that's hilarious.
He changed it to the second on my birth certificate.
To NASCAR? That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, we're not having Jason Jr. running around here.
Jason Jr. What would be your NASCAR number if you were in NASCAR, you think?
Damn, it would probably be 27.
27? 27?
Like, yeah, that's like my favorite number. So
dude, I would have to steal 23 from somebody. I don't know if I could drive a car that wouldn't have 23 on it.
Yeah, you would have to have the 23.
I got it. Like, it's just, I don't know why. Just 2-3 just is, it sticks. Like that, mm-hmm. Or maybe I could rock like 9. I think I could, like,
that'd be pretty sweet.
The number 9 would be a good one. But other than that, dude, I don't think I could. Or I could do 95.
What color car, though? Like, what would be your car color?
Ooh, it'd have to be like this color green. It'd be okay. Like, it'd be like a matte green.
Okay.
And then and I might as well just stick with the brand. It'd be a PXG main brand, mm-hmm. car, dude.
That's sweet.
And so then who knows what other brands I'd get. Let's see. What are all my favorite things? I'd have to do. So it'd be PXG, and mm-hmm. then it'd be, let's see.
I'd have Jif peanut butter on the side.
You gotta have Jif, dude.
Absolutely.
I'd have to have Jif.
You'd have to have one, like, beer on there for sure.
Gotta be Bud Light or Stella.
Okay.
I'd have to whoever calls first, that's who I'll take. Out of
the hillbilly
two.
In me says Budweiser. I gotta go Budweiser.
Dude, that's just Budweiser's NASCAR, baby. That's what it is.
That's like the only beer I drink too.
I think the cars run off of Budweiser because that shit will fuck you up.
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
The last time I got like blitzkrieged off of Budweiser, I woke up in my basement bathroom. Like, my room was downstairs at my parents' house, but I woke up, mm-hmm. in my basement bathroom, just wrapped in a towel.
Jesus.
Whew. On the floor. Carpet. Will get you. It was carpet, which is a little bit more dangerous of a bathroom because it's carpeted. But I woke up and I was like, what am I doing in here? I was like, how did I not make it back to my bedroom? And it's because that Bud Diesel, baby. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, no wonder they act a fool there.
Right. Yeah, it's potent.
Have you ever been to a NASCAR race?
No, I haven't. I think it'd be pretty sweet. But man, I'm already pretty hard of hearing. That'd probably put me over. I'd need hearing aids after that, I'm sure. Oh, dude, I went to the doctor the other day, not to go off on a tangent. I have an ear infection, and they told me that I have an unreal amount of scar tissue in my ear.
No way. From what? Do you know what it's from?
From ear infections as a kid.
Damn. Did you get a bunch of them then?
Yeah, no, I was always getting ear infections. So I don't know. It's because we had a pool.
There we go. See, I've been swimming my entire life, and I don't think I've ever gotten one. What happens when you even get an ear infection?
So it just, like, I don't know. Like, you notice at first, you're like, I don't know. You're cleaning your ear. You're like touching your ear, and it's like, damn, that's kind of hurting right there. Mm-hmm. And then you just, you know, you sleep on it a day or two, and then it starts like going. You like feel it like right in here. I'm pointing at my face, like they can see me.
Well, they can. The video episode is you, so you're good.
Sweet.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, good. So like 2 inches in, about in your ear, it just feels like an internal like pain. So I actually had it 3 weeks ago, took amoxicillin, finished the cycle, and they're like, don't swim, you know, don't swim. What did I do? I went swimming the next day.
You swam.
Yeah. So
bad boy.
I finished my amoxicillin, went back to the doctor like 3 days ago because I was like, dude, my ear hurts so bad still. And now I'm on an ear drop.
God damn, dude. Yeah, I don't think, as far back as I can remember, I don't think I've ever had an ear infection. I don't know. It just, anytime any of my friends have had one, it sounds fucking miserable, dude. It mm-hmm. sounds terrible. So I'm glad I never did. I don't know how I managed to get away with it though, because like I said, I was a lunatic, dude. I was always swimming and I never got one, which is absurd.
maybe your ear canal's built like unreal.
Different.
You're just, yeah, you're just built different.
Just build mad different, dude, I guess. Just build for the water.
Right.
I'm just a water guy, dude. Didn't even try. I was a tiger shark up until like elementary school.
That's pretty sweet.
I hated it though.
Right.
I hated it. And I would try. I remember this like it was yesterday. Me and Dan Boyle, of all people, he was also a tiger shark. We would we would say we were too cold so we could stop swimming and just go and hang out, like, and just shoot the shit in the shower, the hot, hot shower. And I would just be like, fuck this shit. And we got in trouble because we did it too many days in a row. And I was like, well, this is brutal. So what do you want me to do? Either turn the pool up and make it a hot tub or I'm just going to be in the shower the whole time because this is terrible.
That sounds like kind of high school still too. I think that's just, if you're a swimmer, that's all you want to do. You just want to get through that shit and go in the shower and shoot.
It was the best. Like, it was the best. Yeah. It's hot as shit too.
Yep. It's yep. Like, and then because swimming sucks, dude. Swimming, like I love it to death. It's my favorite workout and I'm glad I'm getting back into it. But dude, I hate swimming so much at the same
time. Did you swim in high school?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you? Yep. I did 3 years of swimming and then I did club swimming in Freeport. I was horrible at every sport I ever did, but swimming, dude, I was like a pretty damn good swimmer.
There you go. Well, dude, it's so break it down for me. Like, how did, like, because I know, like, just being in high school, I like some of my friends swam, but none of like my close friends did. So I didn't know anything about like how you guys practiced, what time it was, like if you guys had two-a-days, how meets went, like that type of shit.
I mean, so my first year we had Mr. Egan and he was on his way out. So like, I'm not going to say he didn't care,
but he was cruising.
He was clocking out.
So he was cruising.
Yeah. Like our swim practices were like easy. And then I don't even really remember it. So sophomore year, then we had like this Nazi come in. She came in and she was nuts. We were swimming like 6 miles. No, that 4 to 5 miles, you know, a day, every practice. And so that's 1600 meters. So I don't really want to do all that math right now. A lot of laps back and forth.
Yeah.
And so I actually got in like incredible shape. But I mean, the workouts just were like in the morning, 6 a.m. You do like an hour and a half running, lifting, all that stuff just to, you know, stay in shape. And then after school, we just did 2 hour workouts. And really, you just swim for like 2 hours straight, sprinting, going slow. It's a pain in the ass because, I mean, obviously you can't breathe like other sports. That was like the main thing we had to, practice was your breathing. One practice we did, it was just a 2 hour practice and we had 10 attempts to swim down and back underwater with no breath.
God,
I did it 3 times. And then every time you failed, you had like a 15 minute, like fucking crazy workout on the side of the pool.
And then you had to go again.
So like I had 7 crazy workouts. It's like, this day sucks. You think I'm going to get better? You think I'm going to hold my breath on 9 and 10 when I'm doing all these workouts?
Dude, no way.
Yeah. But yeah, got me in shape. I was a fat little kid, man. And then I started, swimming and even golfing too, like just walking the golf course.
Yeah, because you guys are literally playing like at least 9 every day, pretty much, right? Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah. So you guys are definitely like clocking miles in.
Right.
Walking sucks. Like walking and golfing sucks. I did it once in Wyoming, and it was because we got there just too late, and all the carts were already in. And I was like,
"Oh my god!"
I was like, "We'll be out of here sooner if we have a cart, man. Like, just let us use a cart." He's now they're already all in. Sorry, and we walked. Oh my gosh. I'm never fucking doing this again. Like, I don't know how you guys did it for all 18 every time you guys had like a match or whatever. I was like, dude, no way. Like if people will be like, yo, like we gotta walk though, I'll be like, okay, you can find someone else to golf because I'm not fucking doing that shit. You got me so fucked up. Like, no way.
Well, I was like the worst golfer in the history of golf, so like I'd walk like 20 feet and get a little, you know, a little rest, hit my
sounds
ball,
like me,
you know.
Yeah, sounds like me.
I was awful, and it was cool because I still got to go to state as an alternate the 2 years. And
which
like,
is dope.
It was cool. It was cool, man. You just chill, watch like some of the best golfers. And then
some of those kids, dude, in high school are nuts. Like Byron has had some unreal golfers, dude.
Dude, Trent Snodgrass. Like, I'm so glad I got to witness that. Like, I mean, this is just high school stuff reflecting back, but it's like still awesome because it was like, I'm seeing this kid break records and things like that. It was, dude, it was pretty incredible.
It's so fun. And did you graduate with Trent?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So you graduated with Trent. It's mm-hmm. wild seeing, you know, like from what he was when he was just getting shit on by Joe and Dennis and all, like mm-hmm. he couldn't hit it as far as them. I remember when he was like a littler kid in early high school.
Yep.
When they would just drag him around and just shit on him like all day long after school and everything. And just mm-hmm. like what it turned him into, just to be able to, like, he hits the motherfucker out of the ball. Like,
yep.
He outshoots him like every hole and like just right. pisses everybody off now. Like, it's like they literally like created a monster basically by dragging him along and just forcing him to be better, basically, which yep. is wild to see because he was just like such a little shit of a kid. And then just one, he grew like a foot and a half, mm-hmm. like seemed like almost overnight.
Yeah.
I came back like quite the transition. I saw him like after like a couple months and he was just like 8 feet tall. And I was just mm-hmm. like, Jesus Christ, dude.
How things change so quick.
So wild.
Yep.
It's also so wild how much high school like doesn't matter. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I thought it was everything back then. And then now it's just like, I wish I had so much of a better like perspective while I was there. Like, I wish I could go back and tell like younger me, like, dude, this like obviously have a blast, yeah. live it up, but like it does not fucking matter here. Like,
not at all.
You're not gonna even see more than half of these people ever again. Like,
right.
But you just don't think about that. I knew, because I don't know if you knew it, but I knew at about like 16 that I didn't want to be around Byron, but I didn't know mm-hmm. where I was gonna go, and I just knew I needed to get out.
Yeah,
and it just wasn't for me to stick around there. And so, and obviously not, no hate to anyone that does stay there. Cause mm-hmm. like, if you're happy there, that's rad. Like, good for
yeah,
you.
It's a
great setup if you like it there. Absolutely. I just knew that I had to get out. And so mm-hmm. I knew at like 16, and then just the anxiety as it got worse and worse. Like when I hit 18s, like then I stuck around and went to RVC, which was mm-hmm. good. I'm glad I went to RVC.
Me too, dude.
But great college for the price. Absolutely. Of it, dude. It's wild. Like, some of my teachers were some of the best people ever. Like,
so many people would be like, I don't want to go there. I'm going to go straight to university because, like, fuck community college. And I was yeah. like, I was the same way. I was yep. trying to go where Joy was going. And then I was like, my mom was like, no, you have to. I'm not going to help you with anything if you don't. And I was like, okay, for sure. Fuck you, but okay.
Yeah,
you
know? I did and the then, same thing. I did the yep. same thing.
And I don't regret it one bit. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's so funny that you say that because my original plan, which is weird thinking about it, was I was interested in physical therapy at the time. And I was like, okay. And I wanted to go to school with Joe. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. He's going to Blackhawk and is obviously golfing. So he's like, Blackhawk is an expensive community college if you're not getting any scholarships. And
where's it at?
It's in Moline, Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's in the Quad Cities. So
I knew that. Okay.
So I wanted to go with him, and he was like, yeah, that'd be insane if we went to college together. I was like, yeah, dude, absolutely. And so we made a presentation to show my parents just to be like, hey, this is where I want to go. And I had gotten accepted into the physical therapy program. I applied and I got accepted. Don't know how. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I was like, okay, sweet. And which I'm sure they probably accept almost everybody anyway, but regardless, I don't know how it works, but I got in.
Oh, sell yourself short.
Yeah. But who knows? So I was just like, I don't know how, but whatever. So I got in and we sit down and my parents were hell bent, mainly my mom, on me going to Rock Valley. Cause I was the same way. I was like, I want to go, even though Blackhawk is a community college, it was somewhere mm-hmm. else, and just being yep. somewhere else is what I wanted. I really wanted to go to a four-year, and I wanted to live that entire existence, but I wouldn't have had a life because mm-hmm. I would have had to pay for all my own shit. Like, I would be in so much debt right now. I wouldn't even have
yep.
I wouldn't have graduated because I was such a shithead of a college student anyway until the very end. So I would have flunked out. But regardless, we made this presentation and it pissed my mom off so bad because of doing that for some reason. And then I remember her and I like getting into it, and I was just like, I don't know why the fuck, like, you don't want me to go off somewhere else to school. Like, what is your deal? And then she was mm-hmm. just like, She was just like, you're just not listening to me. Like, you're literally going to bury yourself in debt for no reason. And she's just like, and I, at the time I was like, you're an idiot. I was like,
right. What did we know?
Yeah. I was just like, what the fuck do you even know, mom? I was like, this is going to be sick. I was like, you're holding me back. And then thank God that she like talked me out of going. Cause Joe was only an hour and a half away. So I could go see him literally whenever I wanted to. And I saved a fucking fortune by going to Rock Valley.
Right.
Like a fortune.
Yeah.
And now like I can't, I want to continue school and get a bachelor's just to have it for myself, to prove to myself that I can do it. Cause I've always just been a bad student. So I want to at some point, but I'm not going to continue school if I don't know what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if I can land a job where they want to pay for me to continue going to school, then that's the ideal scenario, because that way I don't have to worry about, because dude, there's some, like some parents that I know are still paying off their student loans. And I can't imagine that.
My like, family doctor is, and he's like probably 55, you know, 60.
Is
like,
that not insane?
It's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I know some people that like went to my boss at my job. He was like, yeah, I went to University of Denver, and it's a private college, $60,000 a year. He's God, like, I went there and I was like, why'd you do that? Money. I was like, why would you do that? You could have went to CSU for cheaper in Fort Collins. So I don't really get it.
Probably had just as good of a time and experience.
Oh yeah. I always tell people, because like my siblings, they looked at college and stuff. If I could go back, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have got my 4-year degree. I would have went straight to being an electrician. I would have had to stick around Rockford for a little bit, but I would
until you get like out of your apprenticeship or whatever, and then be able to transfer.
I would have knocked out my 5 years and then just moved out here. I even like 3 months ago was looking at the union here, even just because I was like, social work's cool, but damn, it is just, I'm like burnout almost.
I feel you on that for sure. That's kind of, I'm kind of at that point with fire. Like, and it kind of fucks with your head a little bit. Cause like that was so much of my identity for so long. Like I was like, I was a fireman. Like that's like what I was. And I was back home for years and I still like, wasn't fully committed to it, but I knew I had the idea that I was going to go to somewhere else and get on like that's the goal is like, to, if I ever get offered, because I'm going to just apply for Phoenix Fire like while I'm here, and if I get like that opportunity ever, if I'm still around, like I'm going to take it probably, because my dream is if I'm going to do it, I want to be on a bigger city. And so
yeah, that'd be sweet.
And so that would be a cool thing, but at the same time, like I've had like such an identity crisis with it to where it's like maybe I'm not a fireman, you know what I mean? Like maybe that's not what I like. The schedule is tough for me. I don't know who does, but I don't like being woken up and having to operate at 1,000%, you know, in the middle of the night sometimes. It's just like,
does the good outweigh the bad when you think about it? What's your initial like?
Yeah, it does, just because the people there, like it's okay. Like it's I love the camaraderie of, like the sitting around at the table with everybody bullshitting, like be watching movies together, like on a night shift, like walking and grabbing food with the guys, I'm just like just hanging out, training, like just like the environment of it is
right.
It's my type of humor. Like you're able to talk to people like and be funny and like be, you know, I feel like I'm just constantly running like a stand-up bit when I'm, and it's the same for both structure and wildland. It's both the same environment basically. And I feel like so like such a big part of my personality and the way I am is because of being like basically raised in a firehouse, like
right.
And so it's just, it's an unreal, but I mean at the same time, like I won't even sit here and lie, there were so many times where I was either on a call at night, like you get woken up and then you're like driving to the hospital and like lights and sirens are blaring and it's like 2 a.m. and
right.
You feel like you're on drugs because you just got woken up out of a REM cycle. And so you're like, and then you just got to be 100% and go, go, go. And it's just like,
does your heart just shoot up? Your heart rate just shoot up like every time?
Yes. And it's, and I don't know if it was just a Byron thing, but every station has like a tone that goes off and you know it's your tone. And Byron's was horrible. Like it just like, And so I can't tell you the, you're obviously, you deal with it because you have to go. And like, you got to go take care of people, which is like, so you get over it pretty quickly. But dude, right. It is when you hear that tone go off and you get woken up out of just like an absolute pure slumber, like it is, it's rough.
Like, I bet that's like horrible for your anxiety. Like the whole terrible, time you're
it's
there.
It's just terrible for you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, like it is like, I can't tell you how many years I probably shaved off my own life just by being in fire from, and I already like some people
have
a phased.
Couple ulcers.
Yeah. You know? Some yeah. people aren't phased, but I am definitely phased by it. And like, you hear the high pitched go off and you basically mm-hmm. just kind of roll over. And I never slept well at the fire department anyway, because you're waiting to get woken up. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is. Like it's a paranoid type of sleep because you're waiting to get woken up with a call.
What's and that so, time frame like from like that alarm goes off and you're awake? How quickly are you guys on that truck going? So, like on average, does it feel like?
We want to be like in the vehicle with like around 2 minutes. Like we want to be with like.
Wow.
Dressed. And now obviously we don't got to put all of our shit on like for an ambulance mm-hmm. call, so that's a little bit more doable, but like
right
in like I think like 2 to 3 minutes is like the sweet spot of to get all your
that's
shit
nuts.
On and to get out and go. And it's like when you get out of a deep slumber, like there are times I just like wake up and you sit for like a half a second, but you can't mm-hmm. like you lay there and be like, oh my god, but you can't, you just gotta go. And so
that's incredible.
It's just it's crazy the response time.
Mm-hmm.
And then like especially like what I was doing, I was driving the ambulance a lot of the time. So you hear the address, and like a lot of the times like it's Byron, so you have an idea of where you're going, but sometimes there's like spots that you don't know, you've never even heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And so and I'm not an expert on the entire district, you know what I mean? So it's like right. What they used to have to do at Byron was you would have like a written test, I think like once every year, where you would have to, there'd be a blank, it'd be like a map of Byron and you'd have to name like all the roads like in town or some shit like that. And we didn't have to do that.
Wow.
But so we had a big like folding map with a bunch of pages of our district broken up, and you would hear the address and you have it broken down to where you find it on a list and you can go to a certain page and look, and then you got to do that within a couple minutes and then be able to run over and then fire the ambulance up and go. And then, so it's just like, oh my god, dude. And then you're driving there, and then I remember my first.
So the ambulance and the fire truck come from the same place?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, so with Byron.
I did not know that.
Byron's an ALS, so advanced life support. I think that's what that I'll have to recheck that. But so there's basic and then advanced. And advanced mm-hmm. means there's paramedics, obviously. So we have everything in-house, and where it's like some places in like they'll just do fire and they'll show up and be first responders on an ambulance call, but then the ambulances will be private. So they'll be mm-hmm. a whole separate thing. So, but yeah, dude, I remember my first, so what would happen is we would start out when I got hired on, since I was a cadet, I automatically was in the recruit class. So I didn't have to retest gotcha. For that. So when we started out, we were going through recruit class. Towards the end, we would be on one shift like a month, and we would, it was a couple, I think, actually, not just one, but we'd be on one night shift a month, how we were starting, and we'd have to mm-hmm. do drive time first. So we'd have to have, a lieutenant or like a full timer with us, and we would just drive around and get our drive time in the ambulance. And then it would be, you had to sit in the front seat with somebody and observe them driving to the ambulance or to the hospital. And then it was you up there with someone sitting up there with you. And then you would drive back after calls. And then eventually then you were up there by yourself. And it's super nerve wracking sometimes. Like, dude, I remember so many times where I'd be blazing through heavy Rockford traffic
mm-hmm.
with lights and sirens, and people just, cars are made so much better now. Like the silent cabs, like people have their music playing. Like people people do not hear you. And mm-hmm. you can be laying on the horn with the flipping the sirens back and forth. And like, it's a lot of distractions. Like while you're driving, it's actually wild.
Yeah.
And so, and you're responsible for everybody in the back of that too. Like the patient right. and your guys. So it's yeah. like,
So you want to definitely
kind of, so you're kind of on edge. Safe. And I remember my first call that I was by myself. You got to know how to get to all three hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then in some certain cases, so yeah, you got to go.
You can't pull up Apple Maps.
You can't. Well, see, the thing is you could, because they finally got iPads in.
Oh, that's sweet.
In the ambulance. So that it made it a little bit easier, just in case you didn't remember. And there's so many like specific ways to get to the three hospitals. And then like, so it's super nerve wracking because you don't know which one you're going to go to. And then depending on where you're at, like what's the easiest and fastest way. Cause like, if you don't go the right way, like you're going to get like, in like you'll get yelled at for not going like the specific way, which is kind of annoying, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was pouring fucking rain, dude. And it was 2 a.m.
Oh, gosh.
And it was kind of a serious call. And then I had whoever it was, I had like their mom or their wife in the front seat with me.
Oh my
God. And like, so that's what will happen is if someone else will follow them and then like someone will ride with and they'll ride up in the front. And then it's like an awkward, I hated it. Cause it was just like an awkward conversation. You kind of had to like talk about it a little bit. And like,
so it was the lady's husband in the back.
Something like that. I don't know how serious the call was. I think it might have been kind of mellow, but like I said, 2 a.m, pouring rain, and I still was like kind of unsure on how to get to the hospital. And they were just like, "Yep, like Drake, you're driving. Like, we'll see you when you guys get back." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And just white knuckle the whole time, just freaking out like I'm gonna go off the road. Cause dude, the ambulance was because they switched them over now. They're a whole different chassis now, and they're a little bit smaller and kind of easier to control. They used to be big internationals with like air brakes and shit.
Yep.
And like wild, like just big vehicles. And I'm used to whipping around a shitty, like a real small 5-speed Honda Civic, dude. Just where I can drift anywhere I wanted to. And just turn on a dime. No.
Yeah.
And so it was super nerve wracking, but then you get more and more used to it, obviously, just like anything. So then it just became, you know, I looked forward to driving at that point because it was like, because I knew there were people way better than me that should have been in the back anyway. So I was like, I'm good at this up here. So just let me keep doing this. And
gotcha.
And then, yeah, like I had to bounce. And then Wildland is wild. It's just a different, you go from things like being kind of contained. I didn't fight like a ton of fire because obviously it was my part-time job while I was there.
What were you doing the other part-time?
I was doing, I was working basically full-time at the golf course.
In Byron?
So I was at Prairie View basically full-time from the early, early spring until late fall.
Gotcha.
That's what I did for a couple years, which I liked a lot. And then, I would do more of fire in the winter, but from like, it's still scary as shit, but like flame being contained or like busting out of a building is definitely horrifying. But dude, out in the forest, man, where one wind gust can flip it 180 degrees on you it's just a scary, scary dynamic. Like I can't comfortably sit. I don't think anyone can, but like when things go wrong and like places get burned over and like vehicle, there's videos of like, people getting burned over, like it happens all the time in Cal Fire, like they are just insane. Watching those videos, man, it's like I just hope I'm never anywhere near a scenario like that.
That sounds awful. I mean, it's terrifying when the fires are here and they're like 30 miles away, you know, like I think last year there was some by it was a couple of years back, there was some by Black Forest, and so like we weren't here, but that's still pretty nearby. And I imagine with how little snow we've gotten this winter, that it's going to be a horrible dry summer. And I'm not really looking forward to that. I think everyone's like excited about that. And I'm like, dude, this planet's given up on us a little bit, I think.
Yeah. What we've done, we are not helping at all. Like Phoenix is literally going to be unlivable in about 40 years. I would give it 50 to 40 years. Like it is, I don't know how.
It's hot as hell in the summer there.
Dude, 118 every day for like 2.5 straight months. Like and don't get me wrong, like it's hot as shit and it's kind of miserable, but no one's here. So like you can golf these nice ass courses for dirt cheap. Like that kind of shit. That's like the trade-off, you know what I mean? Where mm-hmm. it's like, okay, like I, and it's still kind of a paradise. Like, yeah, you get yeah. hot, but you suffer for 2.5 months, and then the rest of the year is beautiful. Like, dude, it was 80 degrees and gorgeous and sunny today. Like,
yeah, it was like 65 here. I was pretty pleased.
So it's just like, yeah. It's wild, but no, dude, it's, I don't know how like structures don't fucking like melt every day in the summer. I don't,
dude,
I know
they're not helping with like the water crisis either. You said these nice golf courses you're going to and they're probably watering them like crazy, huh?
Or else they're just ruined.
Oh God. See, I was reading something about that too, how we're just like taking a lot of the water from like, I think it was like Wyoming, Colorado, like this area kind of where I'm at and they're getting it over there to like water golf courses and stuff, like where golf courses shouldn't be. And it's just like, damn, that's another issue we're going to run into here is water. I imagine in our lifetime, it might be the price of water might go up a lot. I can certainly imagine that.
Wouldn't that be just horrible?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's water complaining pricing, about gas and going through the roof.
Yeah.
It is a wild time, but it's something just like basically so far out of like you and I's control to where it's like, what am I going to do? Like, I can only do so much. Like, even if like so many of these like amazing organizations that are doing stuff to help, like, we need about a million more of these organizations to keep helping out. It's just,
doesn't help either when like the most wealthy people in the world too are more worried about trying to get to Mars than kind of working with what we got here.
Yeah, like so, why would we not be putting this money back into our own planet? Like, I get like the hype around space like exploration and trying to inhabit a planet. Sweet. I get the hype on that. It gets clicks, like it gets people's attention. Like that that makes sense to me. But it's just like a lot of these people, like I'm nervous about my grandkids, if I ever have any, dude, you know what I mean? Like our grandkids, like, what are they going to deal with? Like I think everything is just going to have to move further north and south. Like people are just going to have to go closer to the South Pole and the North Pole to even be able to live. Like, and that's why, and you think about it, dude, so much of this like planet is still uninhabited. Like it's wild. Like going through Wyoming, how many empty spaces there is, dude, of just like, I'm horrified to see that just be taken over and become more and more cities. Like, and then like how much of Canada is just absolute dense forest that no one's seen. Like 2 years, like when I was in Wyoming in 2019, there was a fire that burned for over 1 million acres in Canada. And no one, no one knew about it. 1 million acres is so much land.
Nobody got killed from it either.
I don't think so. No. Cause it's
unbelievable.
It's all just where there's nobody.
Wow.
And it burned for over 1 million acres and just, and no, it, I don't even think it made like major news. I'm sure they covered it briefly, but like it just, nothing was really threatened. And plus like, that's good for the forest to get a reset when all that shit comes through and burns all that stuff. Cause I see when I was in Silverthorne, Colorado on my fire, which gorgeous place, one of the most gorgeous places I've ever been to. There's a fire that was creeping down this hill that was threatening a neighborhood. And so they were kind of freaking out a little bit about it, which makes sense. But in those forests up there, there is so much dead and down trees where like, it's not even like animals can't even get through there. So it's like, you need that. That's a lot of these people, they don't understand. Like they don't understand that this stuff is good. This stuff needs to burn. Cause if it doesn't, it's going to keep growing and growing and get bigger and bigger. And then it's just more fuel. Like it's kind of, that's a tough thing about going to wildland. It's like, you look at these like gorgeous forests and stuff, and I don't see that gorgeous part of it anymore. I just get like an anxious feeling because of how much fuel there is there.
Yeah. We'd burn our pasture every year, or not every year, every couple years out on when we lived in Byron on the farm. So yeah. You got to do those things.
Yeah, it's wild. And so it's so important for the environment to get it, to get that shit cleaned out and get it restarted. So it's like, it's still wild that the Australia fires, how bad those were. I mean, how many like animals were getting killed and burned over and shit like that. Now, obviously like animals are, if I would have to pick, I'd rather have it be animals than people. I mean, 100%. Absolutely. So it's like, that's just how it goes. But I mean, could you imagine like just cities getting ran through? Like,
that'd be crazy.
I can't imagine, man. Like, no. I cannot even imagine. Like I try to like think about like the Great Chicago Fire. Just like how much of a fucking nightmare that must have been. Like, How long ago that was, dude? Like, they were so screwed from the jump. Like, they were, there was no way they were catching
that. Yeah, no, they were set up for failure with like, that for sure.
No way. And so it's just why it's wild how far things have, how, like, I was seeing when I was on that fire in Colorado, they were droning it with heat cameras to see where the hot spots were. Like, imagine like how good of a tool that is to be able to know, like,
that's incredible.
Like, the droning up and seeing all these heat signatures from the sky to where, like, you'd have to, like, walk up all the way up in there and feel around. Cause, like, some of that stuff that lays so dormant for so long, like, you think a fire's out and all that duff on the ground just holds in heat. And so that shit can burn for an entire summer.
Oh my
God. And not go out. Like, there was, when I was in the Bighorn National Forest for 2 weeks on a fire, that fire burned all summer.
Mm-hmm.
It burned all summer long. And it made a huge run. It almost went into Montana, which apparently is a big deal with the feds. Having to cross over a state line is like a really big, like, issue.
That's so weird.
They were real nervous about it picking up and going again. And it did pick up pretty good while we were there. But the terrain was so shitty. It was basically just like mitigating it, like fighting it from.
And you guys were killing it.
Yeah.
You guys were up there fighting it.
Yeah, dude. It was. Yep. How, what's your elevation where you're at in Colorado?
Oh man, so we're at like 62, I want to say.
Is that not brutal? Like, what,
dude? It's when I first got here, the first day we got here, I got a bloody nose that lasted for like 46 minutes, dude. And Joy and I were getting ready to go to the hospital because it was like double nose, like gusher, and I was like, Jesus, I'm gonna die out here.
Bloody noses are horrible, by the way. That is such a horrible thing to have. Like, I hardly ever got any my entire life, but I knew a few people, like Austin Coltrane, he would get them randomly for no reason.
That's me.
And I'm just like, I cannot imagine. Like, that just is so horrible to me.
You get over it. Like, eventually you just get used to, like, I don't know. I would just get really bad bloody noses. So I would just take paper towel, do it as tight as I could, throw it in my nose, and just keep doing whatever.
Yeah,
I was
just
doing.
Keep trucking.
Because it was gonna stick around a little bit.
Yeah.
We were not strangers to one another. So,
because it's funny that you say that, because I was like, I think Casper is like 5'8" or something like that, which is, I mean, we come from Illinois. Like, there is no elevation where we're at.
There 200.
Yeah. If that.
Right.
And so my first time in Wyoming, I was like, oh my God, like trying to do anything physical. And that's all our work is, like, it's like, this sucks. And then
you kicked your ass.
Yeah. The worst ever was when I was in the Bighorns. That's like 9,000 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, like, so normally we have like our gear itself. So just like our yellow, our pants are Kevlar, pants are heavy as shit. Our boots are not light. That alone is like obviously a few pounds. And you have your 45 pound pack. And then either you're carrying a saw or a tool or a Domar full of fuel and oil. Or a bag of water that's 40 fucking pounds. And I shit you not, I would take two steps and I would be like, I'm going to fucking pass out. And I
want to throw up.
Yeah. You know? Like, dude, I don't know how people operate at the, like, people got to be freaks to operate at that level. Like, you just don't feel good doing anything. It made me so lazy being up there, like, lethargic. And like, you're just like, it makes you feel like you're way more out of shape than you actually are. Like, I was in peak physical condition when I was there. And I was like, dude, no fucking way, man. Like,
it made me feel so pathetic. I was like, yo, this is 12 steps. Like, I don't need to be out of breath right now.
Dude,
so
for real.
Going home, sweet though. When we went home for Christmas, it was cold as shit. I can't stand that. But it was like easy to breathe. Like, I was running around with my brother and stuff, and like,
you just felt good.
Felt better. Yeah. I mean, it was Illinois. I don't know. I'm just so biased. I love this state, man.
Dude, Colorado's fucking sweet, dude.
When Joy and I came here for a vacation in like 2017, and one of her family friends was like, hey, come help us do like some church stuff. And I was like, I'm not religious, but you're going to give me a free place to stay and I can help out a little bit. Let's do it. So came out here, saw the mountains, dude, and I was like, as soon as I graduate college, I'm moving out here. So that's what happened. The day I submitted my last assignment last year, I moved out here. I didn't even walk at my graduation. I left the same day. Joy and I moved out here the same day that I turned in my last assignment. So I made it a reality.
Oh yeah, that's dope, dude. I encourage anyone from back home to, even if it's a short stint, to get to just move somewhere else. Even if it's for like a year, just go live wherever you want for a year. And
yeah, dude,
it'll change your whole perspective on life.
If you have a job back home, just bust your ass for like 6 to 9 months, save up some money and just go check something out. I mean, if you're staying at home or whatnot, like just stack your bread and get out for a little bit.
That's the thing too, is like, it is, I did not realize it while I was there. Just like, cause if I could go back, obviously I'd do probably a million things different. Like,
without a doubt, yeah.
Like, I'd do a million things different. But if I was truly what I was about, like then, like I am now, like I hardly would have went out. I would have been working on my stream while living at home, working on my podcast while living at home, and had access to all my friends. But I just wasn't, you know, I was too nervous to make that jump at the time. And now since I didn't have a life last year, and I was able to afford, like, I have my dope PC that I stream video games on and do the podcast shit on now. It's been like, it's taken a lot of like the general anxiety that I used to have away, because I'm actually doing what I want to be doing. You know what I mean? And I obviously it's not like taking off or it kind of is in my, in like,
sure it is.
Yeah. Like it kind of is.
You were yesterday.
It kind of is taking off. Like, it's wild that like, I'm about to hit 1,000 total plays. Like, I never thought when I started it, that that's what it was going to be. You know what I mean? And like,
absolutely.
And I can focus on like, no one's telling me outright like, yo, your podcast sucks. Like, and I know like that's probably being talked about somewhere, which is fine. But all the positive shit that I've gotten from it, even if it's just one message, that's all I wanted to do anyway, was just get one person to be like, yo, this is helping me. I relate to the things you're talking about. Like, it's wild to hear like the, like how open you are about your struggles. And it's just like, yeah, dude, cause I'm growing up, man. I don't care anymore about like, I've always been a fairly open person. I think most people know that about me anyway. I've always been like open about dealing with like anxiety and depression. It's just shit that a lot of us deal with. And I feel like it's only getting worse. And the cool thing about America is it's going to make a profit off of whatever it can. And since mental health is such a nightmare, it's just so, it's not easy for people to be able to afford like therapy. Yeah. It helps or whatever, but at some point you do kind of got to live your own life. But for how expensive it normally is. And I haven't checked out BetterHelp, because like, that's what a huge sponsor for a lot of the podcasts that I listen to.
I got to ask you something about that too, though.
Yeah.
So as far as like therapy, I'm definitely a big supporter of therapy, but again, that bread, it costs a lot of money. Where's your stance with like medication? You ever taken any medication for it? 'Cause I know some people don't.
Yeah. So I was real jaded on that fact, like years ago when I knew I had an issue. Like, I knew something was going on. I was just getting overly anxious about everything. It's been, now that like, the further I look back and the more I've been through therapy, like I've noticed it's been a trend for years and years, how anxious I was growing up, even about like stupid shit, like shit that just didn't matter, that I was like, that it would cripple me with anxiety. And so when I first went and they had recommended that I try like an anxiety medication, I was like, I was jaded with it, because I was like, nah, it's gonna fuck me up. Like, people are like, I didn't want to have to rely on a pill to be okay. And then, but I was like, you know what, let me try it and see if it helps. And it did. And I would go on it. I'd feel okay after a while, and I'd go off it for a while, go back on it. And then I think I went on it twice. And then I tried a different anxiety medication for another short stint, and it helps. Like I said, to anyone, like, it helps. And sometimes all you need is like something to help you get you through the fucking day. Like, and if a medication can help you do that, like that's, then I would say try it out. And now I'm at the point where I'm dealing with a little bit less anxiety and a little bit more of the depression part of it. So now I'm debating if I want to try antidepressants and see how that goes. And I like I said, I used to have an issue with it, because I was like, it's going to make me not me. You know what I mean? I would get even more anxiety thinking about taking an anxiety medication. I'd be like, cause it's gonna be like, I don't want to have to rely off this pill to make me like, okay. And so, but I took it, it helped. I would recommend it. And now
Like I said, I was on antidepressant for like 3 years. Dude, I would, you know, if it's on the mind, I would consider it. I mean, it was, for the first like 3 or 4 weeks, it just didn't do anything. So like, it was almost making me feel more depressed, which is something they see. And then dude, after that, it was like,
it does take a while for it to fully get into your system, which is kind of wild when you think about that. Like, you have to take this for a few weeks for it to work. I'm like,
just for your brain to finally go like this. Adjust. Instead of,
to finally adjust to that chemical, like basically balancing you out. And, and like I said, I love that you're talking about it and being open with it, because sometimes, dude, I will just get this impending doom feeling of like, I'm never going to find my soulmate. I'm never going to find my dream career. I was like, I love what I'm doing with the podcast and the stream, but I'm like, is it ever going to take off to a level to where I can actually do it full time? Like that, like, and one of the things I've been dealing with now that I remember, cause you and I were messaging when you were going to get on about shooting shit about mental health, which I always love to do.
Right.
And it's getting really good, like reviews for like some of my friends, like Connor Scomel. He's a good ass dude from Oregon, and I'm going to have him on too. And he's
sweet.
He told me, he was like, dude, he's like, it's so dope to see like to how open you are. Like, dude, some of the shit that like I can relate to you. It's like a lot of these people that are like famous podcasters, like, yeah, they can talk about being down and sad, but you know, not discrediting them, because like they all deal with real problems too, but like they're super wealthy, like they're super successful in their careers. Like it's a little bit of a different perspective coming from a guy who's not famous. So it's like,
yeah, we have, it almost feels like we have less to lose in a way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You could take that in a dark way if you want, but just like with depression, like things like that, you know,
there's just always a silver lining though. Like there's like, even on my bad, bad days, like I just, all I got to do is just be like, let me just try to make it to tomorrow and see if tomorrow's even a sliver better. And usually it is. Like, when I messaged you, like being like, yo, I want to have a mental health day. Cause I told you I had tried, I fired up the podcast after I was having a real rough time at work. And I was like, I wasn't talking at work, and there was no vibe to me that day. I wasn't myself. And I was like, oh my God, just get me off of work today and let me go home. And I fired up the podcast and I ranted for like 20 minutes. And then my mic was fucking muted. And I was like, God damn it, dude.
Right.
I was like, God damn it, my luck. And so, but at the same time, it was good because I still vented, you know, got it off my chest. But then I was like, okay, since it didn't record, I'll just go back over the stuff when I talk to Jason on the podcast, which will be almost better, just to have, because it's always dope having, you know, someone here to shoot the shit about and kind of talk about it. And what it was I was getting in my own head about like how things have been going, and I live a pretty rad life. Like I've done a lot of cool shit, like I've been telling you, and I don't really share it besides on here. And you know, like TikTok, I've shared a bunch of shit on. That's just not the same as like Instagram to me. TikTok is like, I'm not seeing all the people I'm following. Like I'm not seeing all the people that I grew up with, kind of thing. And I know you can pick who you follow or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, there's so many people that like, I still like love to death that I just really don't talk to that I see on Instagram sometimes. And so sometimes like, sometimes it's just weird and it's tough. But what was fucking with me was I was getting in my head about the podcast, and it was just like it's taking off and people are fucking with it, but why, like something's missing. I couldn't tell what it was. And so I was starting to like get more and more in my head, and I was like, am I ever going to hit affiliate on Twitch? And I was like, am I ever going to like get enough followers? And like,
You certainly are, dude. It feels like a fucking, it feels like forever. It feels like you're looking down the corner and seeing two damn viewers.
It's like I'm sprinting after something that I'm almost about to reach out and catch, but I just can't get. It's just a little bit faster than me. It's just ever so faster than me that like, and it almost gives me like that impending doom fear of like no light at the end of the tunnel. Like I'm just gonna keep grinding and it's not gonna pick up. And I'm like, then after those few days where I kind of sat after I had ranted, I was just like, that's the old me way of thinking. I'm not that kid anymore, dude. Like I'm not that little scared, you know, kid that's riddled with anxiety. Like, I'm doing the things that I want to be doing. You know what I mean? And it's bleeding over into like every other aspect of my life now. Like my family, like I'm improving the relationship with my mom. I'm improving the relationship with my family as a whole. Me, myself, I'm a different person now. I'm at my core, still the same goofy me that I was when I was younger and in high school, but I'm just so much less toxic now, dude. Like and you don't realize it until you lose certain people and you just kind of, you got to wear all that shit that you, mm-hmm. But if it wasn't for certain people leaving or me like fucking up in ways that I did, like I wouldn't be who I am right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I wouldn't be this way easier going guy who's so much less toxic, like not just having a way different perspective on things, just trying to improve like relationships all over in my life, basically.
You're gonna get out what you put in, and that's you know, that's something people lose sight of a lot. I mean, sometimes it doesn't seem like it.
No,
you know, because it's a build. But dude, the one thing that I've been carrying with me this year, not to cut you off, but
oh, you're good, dude. Fire away.
It's such a lame cliche thing, but I'm better than I was yesterday. That's my goal.
For sure.
Like when I go to the gym, dude, and I'm not hitting the same PR that I did last week, then I look at another thing that I did this week. Like, okay, I did that, so I'm better than I was last week in that sense. And so, cause you're never always going to be better than you were yesterday in every category.
No.
So you gotta, if I woke up tomorrow and I eat a fucking bowl of ice cream, well, my health, I didn't do a good job in that sense, but I'm going to go, say hi to a stranger. I'm going to spread some love, something like that,
which is huge, better. Dude.
Yeah.
It's huge. And it's those, you don't think about it, but it really is like the basics, the little things. It's wild. Like you don't think that's what it is, but it's just like, dude, like, obviously like things are always kind of low key a nightmare in America, but like I got a job that pays me well enough. Like I'm working towards what I want to do. I have such amazing friends here. I was like, things are getting better with my family. I was like, I'm getting closer to family that like I've kind of had a falling out with outside of my immediate family. It's like, I'm just constantly gaming and hanging out, talking with my best friends. I was like, I live in an amazing place. I live in an amazing apartment. Like my roommate's dope as fuck.
That is sweet.
Just like, I'm, and it's like you put it in perspective, because one thing I want to do while I'm here is try to do something to help the homeless here in Phoenix, because it's bad.
Let me know. So like, let's collaborate.
Absolutely.
That was one of my internships in college. I love working with homeless
and
people.
So that's like a plan of mine, a rough plan. I don't know what I'm going to do for it yet or what's going to happen, but on my drive to work and like driving around where I live in downtown, like the homeless problem is bad. And like, I just last night, like right off the highway, I literally walked by a guy just asleep on the sidewalk. Like,
yep.
Thank God he had like a blanket or whatever. But it like barefoot, like, I don't know how long he'd been sleeping there or where he's sleeping tonight, like that type of thing, to where it's like,
right.
It's just like, I got to do something. And like, it's pulling me more and more to do. So now I know like old me would just like fight it and be like, yeah, it's too much work. It's too much. Like, but it's calling me too much to this point to do something to where I have to act on it. Like I said, so my rough idea is to go around and just to offer like a meal and water or whatever like people want, and then have them sit down and do like an interview about their life for like, a half hour to an hour. Like, I'll offer them a meal and then just try to build a community that way. And then hopefully someone sees it and then can like donate to the cause or whatever. Like, this is all like super hypothetical, but it's just a rough
plan.
And to be able to like
hope it sticks. So
to be able to get like an organization together, especially like helping veterans, because like you have all these guys that just go over and basically ruin their lives at times, and then just they come back here and it's like, here's a plaque, figure it out.
Yeah, right. Here's your purple heart for getting shot in the spine.
And
but we're not gonna help you.
No, and it's just like wild to me that like, because those conversations trying to get them into the military they're hyping them up. They're telling them everything they want to hear, because these are kids. You know what I mean? These kids are being promised like the world, and then they get back after what they do. And it's just like, it's always rubbed me the wrong way about veterans when they come back here. It's like, yeah, thanks. See ya.
Right.
It's just like, something's got to be done, man. Something has to be done. I have so many amazing friends that are vets, to where it's like, I want to be so involved in that community and do whatever I can. and just hope, like I said, build it out. And then like years down the road, maybe we have a legit organization that like has serious buzz and
right.
go from there and just keep building it out. You know what I mean? So hopefully we can,
if you ever come from a little idea.
Yeah. If you can come visit or something, or we can go do something there too. And just, if we can collab and do something like that, that would just be a fucking blast. Cause like I'm at the point now where I don't know if you're this way too, but obviously I would love to be, cause you know, I've been, you know, I came from a well-off family. Like we were never really struggling when I was like growing up, like we were always okay. And I always got like the shoes that I wanted for sports. I always got, you know, new clothes every year, just such a way better childhood than a lot of these people had. And so, right. and so like, but now since I've been dead broke before, like I'm never homeless. And like, I have so many friends of mine that would take me in to like get back on my feet, which I'm blessed to have that. Some people don't have any of that, man. And
right.
It's just like, so like I know how it is to struggle and to have like almost no money, but I'm happy and content with like, you know, not being rich, but like having a little bit of extra money, and I'm okay with
it. You live comfortably. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, my dream is to not like be wealthy, but since I'm the way I am now, it would be nice to go get whatever I want to eat. And to have a coffee every day from Starbucks and not have to worry about adding up in my bank account kind of thing. You know what I mean? To where it's like, you have that kind of money to where it's like, you don't got to worry about shit like that. Mm-hmm. And so
those little things. Yeah.
I think if more people started out that way, cause a lot of these people are just, the dream is to be rich. There's no dream, but to just have money. It's just like, if there's no purpose with that, it's like, you, no wonder a lot of these people are losing their minds. Like, and you get to a point where you're too wealthy. You've done everything. Like, you can do everything. Like, I don't know if I want to be at that point.
No. I mean, you could do stuff with your money.
Absolutely. That's
kind of what you're saying. But I don't know. I just think back to Elon Musk's tweet that one time. I think Elon Musk is an idiot, by the way. I'm going to put that out there right now. He's just another billionaire. I don't really fuck with that. But he was just like, they were talking about solving some sort of crisis, and Elon was like, I'll give you the money, but you guys got to show me like everything you're going to do with the money. Like, I want all of it to be public knowledge, like itemized. And so I can't remember what the issue was. I don't know. I can't remember what like he was putting the money for, like toward, but yeah, he was just like, so like, even with that money, like there's corrupt people below that, and like that money's not going to be used properly. So it's like, you kind of got to go around yourself and, like you're saying, I mean, help out anyone who's homeless or things like that. But I don't know, there's so many variables.
There's also just like so much, it's so tough, because like every time I see someone who's like begging on the side of the road, like I want to give money, but I also have to be selfish, because I've done that so many times to where it's like, I also don't have that much money to be giving. I think I had that conversation with somebody on the podcast a while ago, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, and another thing that's shitty is how many times people have faked doing that and make a fortune, like by being a fake like beggar. And it's just, so it's like, so most cases, I think that people aren't, you know, lying about that, but at the same time, it's like, you almost got to be cautious, because like, it's just, this world is so bizarre. Like, people will literally make a career off of being a fake beggar. And so you just,
you really
never know. So it's just like,
right.
trying to be selfish, and then trying to get it to a point to where like, you know that these people are struggling, that you're helping, and like you can do it on a bigger scale and just from that.
Sometimes I feel like I don't do enough to help either, but then I look at like, I'm like working middle class myself. I'm, you know,
we're not well off.
Like, I'm not, if there was an emergency, something that had to happen where I'd use up some funds.
Yeah.
Like, I'm that close to being homeless technically, you know. Yeah. I don't have just like a surplus of cash.
No,
that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. So
that's kind of how I always take it too. Cause I'm like, man, I'm one disaster away from, you know, I'd probably just move back home, but like, to being in that situation, like if I didn't have a home to go back to.
But dude, like for me, it's at that point, like moving back home is almost like being homeless. Like, I just don't want it to get to that point to where I have to move back home. I just like, not against anyone who's done it. Cause like, thank God, like putting it in perspective again, thank God I have that option. Like, my parents would gladly be like, okay, come back for a year, you know, get your shit together, and then and then go do whatever again. Agreed. So I'm blessed that I have that opportunity, but I don't want that to have to be an option.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you don't want to regress like that. I mean, not necessarily it's a regression, because again, it could just be a disaster, but I know what you're saying. As someone who, you know, got out of Dodge a little bit too, it's like, I don't really want to go back, you know?
No.
I love where I'm at. I love what I do. Every day's an adventure. I mean, you look outside, we're right next to the mountains, like mountains, dude. It's crazy. It's a dream, honestly. That's phenomenal. With not having any money, you know, any surplus of money and things like that. I'm just out here living it.
Dude, I love it. But if you want to plug your socials, we'll wrap it there. I loved having you on, dude. It was such a good
combo. Sure, dude. I appreciate it. I was glad you reached out and wanted me to join. I think it's sweet. I think mental health is super important. I'm not going to plug any of my socials. I don't really use any social media. I'll just put this out there. I was thinking about it the other day. If you're a male and you're this age, go get checked for testicular cancer. That's, you know, one thing that's in this age group. And, you know, also just speaking on our age group and hookup culture, there's an odd you could have HPV or something like that too. Go get checked out. I had someone where I worked. Her husband is like 40 now, didn't know he had HPV, and he had osteomyelitis in his bone, in his face. They just had to do a huge surgery. And so almost killed him. So it's just something like that.
Yeah, you just don't know. A lot of the shit you just don't know. So
those are two random things, but I was just thinking about them. And, you know, I don't know what your target audience is, but I'm sure it's people our age. And those are good things to know.
Absolutely. No, dude, thank you so much for hopping on.
Yeah, man.
Such a chill dude to talk to. I can't wait to have you on again, man. It's been a blast.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. And I know we'll be collaborating on some cool things here soon. So
absolutely, dude.
Absolutely.